All right, here we go. We made it through another week. It's a mail-in and Friday here on Overdrive TSN 1050, online tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We are also on the verge of Super Wild Card Weekend, the Leafs in action, the Raptors in action, the Olympics are drawing near, the third, I guess, window for Canada to punch a ticket to the World Cup, although they got dealt a blow today.
Yes.
Alphonso Davies will not be available because he's suffering from myocarditis after getting COVID, and he's out. He's out for these three games, including the one versus the States in Hamilton. I don't know if there's going to be people in the stands for that or not. The government hasn't figured that out. There's been no announcement.
What's myocarditis, by the way?
Inflammation of the heart.
Yeah, it sounds as if he's going to be okay, and it's just it's minor. It's easy for us to say here in Toronto, right? But Bayern, his manager, came out today and said he won't be playing for us for a while, which basically meant he's also not going to be playing for anyone else, which means he's out for Canada. So probably a little bit scary for him, for sure.
Sure.
And it's a missed opportunity. But if you're the real deal and you want to punch a ticket and want to be considered an international team to be reckoned with, one player can't knock you out of that mentality.
Yeah,
but he's
difficult when he's that much better than everybody else, right?
Yeah, he's a star player. It's definitely a massive blow. But he's such a young guy. Like, you got to think of the big picture, and I think that's what they're doing, erring on the side of caution. I mean, it's the right call in today's landscape. And it's unfortunate because it is a big blow for Canada because he's a superstar. But, you know, you got to take care of the person, the athlete, him first.
Of course.
That's what they're doing. Even if they're erring on the side, because it said a mild case. I don't even know what that means.
Seems like an oxymoron when you're dealing with the heart, right?
Right.
Anything mild with the heart is probably a bit of an oxymoron there, but. Yeah, he won't be at Honduras, at El Salvador, and then they're at home in between those two games against the United States, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So
I
got to
be honest with you, Hazy. Sorry, Andy Petrillo's going to join us. I just think about being an athlete, and I'm kind of a little bit weird about injuries and heart and stuff. I can honestly say if a doctor pulled me aside at any point and said, like we were talking about Letang the other day, how he had a stroke.
Yeah.
That would have been the end for me. I would have been like, I can't go back on the ice. I would almost think that living a normal life, I'd be a lot safer, and I don't want it to be elevated. I don't want to be hit. I don't want somebody to beat me up. I would never play again. That's just me, though. It would scare the hell out of me.
That's the psychological damage that stuff like that does, right? We always look at the structural. But when we talk about injuries and, you know, a medical doctor says you're good to go, you're cleared physically, we rarely talk about, well, is the mind behind it too? Like I could speak as a goaltender. If you tweak a groin or a knee or something like that, you need to be 100%. Even if you're deemed 100%, you have to be confident to use, you know, that part of your body and not worry about, not think about it. It's like
Freddie Anderson last year.
Exactly.
Wasn't that what we dealt with Freddie? Sounded like now he's probably overcome that issue. Yep. Freddie Anderson is an all-star now. And Freddie Anderson is doing big things down in Carolina. And yet that was the belief. I mean, it was never confirmed from either party, but if you read the tea leaves and you talked to some people that were in the know, it was he had some sort of an injury. He had likely rehabbed appropriately and got over it, but for whatever reason, there was some sort of block there that did not allow for him to push through. And guess
what? Mean block? What does the block mean?
Well, mental block is what I'm saying. Like he wasn't willing to play, you know, is basically my understanding. Is the Leafs basically were saying, we don't know what else to tell you. What we see and what we hear and what the doctors are telling us is
you're
good to go. And Freddie didn't feel comfortable. But guess what? That door was necessary. That's a door that opened up that could change the course of Maple Leaf history with Jack Campbell because he's the guy who stepped through it. Who knows what happens if Freddie Anderson doesn't suffer that injury last year? What if he just keeps playing,
rolling? Jack is buried.
And Freddie signs a 5-year extension at 5.5. Yeah. And Jack Campbell's, guess what? He's a true backup right now, and he's probably leaving after this season. That's the kind of stuff that happens over the course of time.
No, but what if Jack followed in line, Hazy? He could have said, yeah, I like being this guy's backup. I'll sign a 3-year extension at $750.
Possibly. But he'd never be. He wouldn't be an all-star, and he'd never be considered a true number one because he wouldn't get that opportunity just based on the cap alone.
It's crazy the goaltending carousel, and both of the guys in Toronto, one goes to Carolina, and both of them end up to be all-stars the year after.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the – I don't want to say luck of the draw, but, you know, good for both of them. They both have earned it. Like, you can't have any ill will towards Frederik Andersen. You know, good. He's moved on. Jack Campbell stepped in and done a great job, and he deserves to be in the All-Star game. And I think that's the big argument right now is – and I agree. I like Nathan MacKinnon's comments today. This isn't a participation badge just because, you know, just because you need representation from every team. And I get that because you want the fan base to be engaged. If you're a fan of Montreal and it's been a bad year for you, you would like to see one of your players there. But I would rather the best players who are having the best seasons go. Like Nazem Kadri not being there, that's a joke. Shesterkin not being there, it's a joke. Like
that's exactly the point, because you know what? It's great. Oh, Nick Suzuki, you can go. Or who are some other guys? Clayton Keller, did I see that he's going to be an All-Star?
Yeah, every team's got a representative.
Oh, yeah. So that's great. That's great that they're going to go. But what you're doing is you're taking away an All-Star game from a guy that really deserves it. Now, I only went to one, but I should have went to two or three. I'm not trying to pump up my own tires here. My best season, I was like, okay, sitting by the phone, blah, blah, blah. And it was like world versus North America or something. I remember the game. And do me a favor, Grappler. Get my stats at the time the All-Star game was named, because they picked Sammy Kapanen. And I like the guy. He's a teammate of mine. But they had to pick him to even out the All-Stars and have a Carolina Hurricane representative. And I'm like, I was like, are you kidding me? And then a year that I didn't really have one of my best years, I got named to the All-Star team. I think it was just like, okay, great, I'll go. I'm happy about it. I like to say that I'm an All-Star, but do it the right year. So I just can't understand why the All-Star, it's such a joke. First of all, it shouldn't even be being played. It's about money and ESPN having the rights, and they got to give them the game. But the whole structure of it, everybody hates it. I hate watching it. I'm kind of like Noodles a little bit. I'll watch preseason Buffalo-Columbus. I'll watch that. I love everything about the NHL, but when the All-Star, the All-Star game comes on, and it's like, this is a joke. Like, this is a joke. From picking guys to the last guy getting a car to this three-on-three nonsense, it's a complete embarrassment, and I don't know what the hell they can do. And I will jump on board to be on a summit committee to talk to the players and talk to different people of what they will do or what they could do to help the All-Star game be better, because I think it's a complete joke. It's an embarrassment.
Well, I just think the best player should go, and if you want a representation from that team, have them voted in. You know, say, hey, here's a list of five. Like, because you can extend the roster a little bit. But I think leaving guys off based on, hey, we got to have this team represented, this team. You can find a way to have that team represented, maybe with a vote in or something like that. But I know Sidney Crosby doesn't care, but it's nice. Like, if the guy deserves to be there, you should be there. You don't think Nazem Kadri would love to be named an All-Star?
Deserves to be.
An unbelievable season.
Yeah, he's top five in points in the league.
Exactly.
He's had a great year.
Guys that have been there 10 times and don't really care about it, I understand. But here's a guy who's been in the league a long time and, you know, been a number two centerman, pushed down to a three, plays at one. Like, he's having an amazing season. Like, he should be there. He should have been chosen. And I don't have a problem, if your team is really good, having multiple people from your team. Like, that's the beauty of having star power on your team. If three or four guys should go, let them go because they're the best players in the league.
Yeah.
Like, I struggle with that. I understand the other side of it, but to me, there has to be some sort of form of middle ground. If you want players, I think Nick Suzuki's a fantastic player.
He's having a brutal year, though. Like, let's be honest. He's not an all-star. This is there's never positive feedback. There's no middle ground, Noodles. There shouldn't be middle ground. Everyone looks towards the NBA and say, that's the All-Star game you want. You know why? Because it's only the superstars that go, the big names that go. They're the ones that sell. And also, the best players want to be there. I think MacKinnon speaking out is what is actually needed. You need guys saying this is a joke. You need the big boys to take over the game, because then you might actually get some push. But then they got to follow through and go. Because that point you just made about Sid maybe not wanting to go, you know who does want to go to the NBA All-Star game? LeBron. LeBron James wants to be there for an 18th time or whatever it is. He wants to be there. He leads the charge.
Hazy.
On it.
They love
it's
being
a spectacle.
There.
You need the superstars there. And the fact is, the NHL, I understand why. It's more of a regional league. That's the way it's built. It's big in independent regions as opposed to it being a national product. But I think the All-Star Game actually is a platform for them to push on a national level, which means you need the biggest names there. And if you're not a good enough team or you don't have a quote-unquote superstar on your team, sorry, you're not represented. Yeah. Like Columbus doesn't have a superstar. Sorry. Like you're not going. Montreal right now, with Carey Price not playing, doesn't have a superstar. Suzuki is not one yet. He's not. No. He's not a superstar. No. Rasmus Dahlin is not a superstar. Sorry, you're not good enough. Like you just haven't made it. So don't go. Like use Stamkos isn't there because Hedman and Vasilevsky have to be there. Stamkos is a household name superstar on the best team in the league, having a great year
and having a great season.
Put him there. It's stupid. It's the NHL.
The place to be for the NHL All-Star break, superstar player or not, is the Bahamas away from a rink. The NBA All-Star Game, the place to be, is at the All-Star Game.
But that is at the core of the issue as well. Like, we can yell and scream. Fans can say what they want. If the players aren't the ones driving the actual participation, then it's meaningless for you. You know, like it is. It's now, you're still going to have big boys there. Matthews is there. McDavid's there. McKinnon's there. Ovechkin's going. You know, like there's always going to be star power, and there's very limited amounts of positive feedback that comes with the NHL All-Star Game. Like it's very rarely got people supporting it unless you're actually in the market that is hosting it. But it's an All-Star Game. McKinnon's right. It's not a participation game. Who's having the best year? And tie goes to the bigger name. That's what it should be. Tie goes to the bigger name as opposed to like, why does Seattle have a representative? Why is Seattle in the All-Star Game? Really? Like, what are they doing there?
Throw in
they're
all the names you just mentioned.
They've been in the league for 2 months.
Yeah, you're right. But the league, is saying, like, here's the thing, though. That's what they're saying. It's an all-star weekend, and you want a representation from every team. Because
I know, but Noodles, that's such like grade school stuff where everyone's got to feel good about themselves. Seattle, you just came in the league. We gave you a building. You got jerseys and everything. You don't get an all-star guy.
Right.
Sorry. No one's good enough.
But here's the thing. It's not that Mark Giordano's good enough. He may just not be having an all-star season. That's the difference. That's my point. Mark Giordano could be in the all-star game because he's as good as anybody who's there. But if is he not having an all-star season, then he shouldn't be there. That was my point. Like, it's star power I get. Like, Kucherov should be there. He's not there because he hasn't played. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's just flat-out superstars, I get that. But if you're having a great season, you belong there.
I agree with that. That's where Kadri comes into play. Kadri's not a superstar. Nazem's not – he's not the equivalent to McKinnon. I don't think he's as good as – Cale Makar, Rantanen's
a better
player. He
would love to tell his buddies like I do when they look at your resume, oh, you were an all-star. Yeah, I was.
Absolutely.
He deserves it.
My point being is exactly, he's having an all-star season, so they have to find a way for him to be there. And if it's at the expense of, hey, you know, player X or, you know, team X doesn't have an all-star season player this year, then they don't get represented.
I agree with you, Noodles, but that means every year you're going to have a minimum of 4 or 5 teams that just simply should not have, like,
right. But that's
Ottawa,
what I'm saying.
Drake Batherson's having a really good year.
He deserves to be there. I think
he's
a
really good
35
year.
Points.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be.
But if he's there, William Nylander
the
should be there. Right? Like, why is William Nylander not there?
Well, Mangiapane has the same amount. Then you have more goals than Nylander. Like,
yeah,
not
as many
there.
Points, but yeah, good player. Exactly.
Right.
Good players.
Like, you could argue all you know, till we're all blue in the face. But I think the clear-cut ones, those are simple. It's the borderline ones, then we could all sit here and argue for hours on.
Right, and I don't believe that. Now, Seattle might be different because it's so new, right? Like, they might be like, hey, Eberle's there. It's cool that we've got a member of the Kraken there. Montreal is so grossed out by their team. And I don't believe people in Montreal are saying, get McDavid off the ice. I want to see Nick Suzuki play more.
Deserves it.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think the Habs we're doing the same thing in Toronto when Komarov went. We were all like, this is ridiculous that Leo Komarov's going. Like, we have more dignity as hockey fans. We don't need it. We're good. We don't need a representation.
Dude, I can't bash this whole event enough. I love the NHL. It's why I have a job. But this is the most ridiculous event and selection system and the whole nine. It's beyond garbage.
The guys who deserve to be there should be there, and that's all I'll have to say. I don't mind. I like the event, but I think the event gets watered down because guys, don't.
Don't want to be there, and then the guys
exactly.
should be there.
The on-ice product, and I know it's difficult. And the two big sports that have physicality, the NFL and the NHL, they have a difficult time promoting an all-star game because you can't have the way the game is actually played. The NBA, there is a lot of toughness in the NBA that people aren't aware of. Like, under the boards, it's a man's game down there. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they find a way to make that game fly. This, I don't know, the three on it looks like it's worse than summer hockey. It's guys are just skating half speed and toe dragging and dangling and hungover, and it's horrendous. It is horrendous.
Yeah, it is, but it's not a perfect science. But it is sad to see. Like, I think Shesterkin is going to be up for the Vezina. Didn't make the All-Star team,
right?
Which is, I mean, Frederik Andersen's having a great season. Jack Campbell's having a great season. They just didn't have room.
Who's the other goalie in the Atlantic? If it's
Vasilevsky.
No, in the Metro. Sorry, in the Metro. It's Freddie Andersen and
Tristan Jarry made it.
Oh, Jarry, he's had a great year too, though.
He's had a great year,
but
for example, I think Minnesota's a good team. Cam Talbot's had a good year, but they, Minnesota, Cam Talbot made it. I would argue, and Shesterkin has had a better season than Cam Talbot. So there's a situation. Talbot's had a fantastic year. Like, it's unfortunate because you can't just have everyone to go.
That happens. There's going to be guys that miss out. And, again, there's going to be guys that don't go. That'll get injured, probably get COVID, or not want to go and just say we're not showing up. So there will be replacements. And it's never going to be a perfect science. In these scenarios, I don't think the NHL does themselves any favors because it is a regional sport where the NFL is, comparing it to the NFL is unfair. I mean, there's no league that can compete with it, but it's about the national audience and it's about the superstars, and the NBA is in that framework too. And I think the All-Star game, if you're going to promote it, it's going to be on ESPN, it's going to be there all weekend.
Right.
Give them the big dogs that sell tickets and jerseys and get people buzzing, as opposed to every team being represented. Put the names that people know and might want to see and then promote them as much as possible, because that's really all you can get. Like, the game itself is going to be what it is. The skills competition is going to be what it is. But get the names out there. Get them talking. Right. Get them in
skills
front of the cameras.
Skills comp, I like. Like, I've always – back to our guy, Iafredi, Slapshot, Chara Slap, like that stuff will always kind of catch the fans' interest. But make the game is
game's
so
not gonna ever
bad, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not good.
It's not going to be physical. No one's going to hit or fight. And then do you really want them throwing their bodies around at an all-star game? I mean, there's only so far you can go.
Honestly, I know it's in Vegas and it'd be a great event, but like the all-star game, I would be fine with them to cancel it this year and use it for scheduling.
Because, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Right now, the schedule is going to be a disaster as it is. Everyone's going to complain about it down the stretch because whoever your favorite team is going to at one point get messed by it. So you're like, to me, use that weekend, use those 4 days or whatever to put in one or two games because, it is a unique year. The Olympics for the NHL players are not happening. They're squeezing it in there. Use that weekend. But the weekend, it's a moneymaker. That's why.
It is. It's part of the TV deal, right? And that's part of the business. If it's a part of the package, and ESPN, I believe, has it, and up here it would be Sportsnet's got it, and they want it. They want it as an opportunity to sell the program and shake hands and kiss babies and do all that thing, then, okay, it's going to be there. I understand that. I get it. But, this year it's going to be difficult to get through it all. Like, you were calling a game last night where Ottawa and Calgary play. Every Canadian team, for the most part, it just feels weird when they're playing. It feels different when they're playing right now. And now Vancouver, after that break, has come back and they've hit a wall. Now they're playing tough teams.
Yeah, they're playing
really tough teams. Calgary has hit a wall. Like, they rolled through Florida and Carolina went home last night and you lose to Ottawa. Mm.
That new Florida-Tampa-Carolina trip, that's the new St. Louis-Dallas.
Or California.
The California trip. There was like St. Louis. Who was it? Dallas. And there was another one in the
center. Chicago.
Yeah, it was like, even throw in Nashville back in the day. But that new one. Go down to Tampa and then play Florida and wheel up to Carolina as a little sugar on top. That you'll find out where you're at from that little three-game set. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That's the toughest three-game haul you can get in the league, geographically. If you're going to put them all together. Those are legitimately three of the five or six best teams in the league.
Yeah.
And Calgary went, I believe, Tampa, Florida, Carolina.
No, Florida, Tampa, Carolina, and they lost 6-2, 4-1, 6-3.
Yeah, not good.
And I would think
the mood wasn't great. In Alberta, man, you can go all the way up and down. Calgary and Edmonton, whichever spot you happen to be in, they are not overly happy out there.
How many Canadian teams are going to make the playoffs?
Well, the Leafs are going to make it. Boston's coming, though. Are they going to be top three? Are they going to be a wild card? We'll see. That's going to be a race.
Boston's on a heater. I'd still think four. I think Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Calgary.
Yeah, I'm not sure the three out west make it. I think two probably will. I think two will. But I don't know. It's going to be a race for all three.
The Leafs are well into the playoffs. It's tough to judge, though, because of the disparity in games. There's teams that have played 28 and 29 games. Other teams have played 39. Tampa's played 39 games. It's really weird when you're looking at and trying to judge people because you're like, okay, that guy's a point-a-game guy. Oh, he's only played 29 games.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's played 36.
19 points. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Arizona. Well, the Habs are worse.
What?
The Habs are below Arizona.
Yeah, the Habs are below Arizona. Well, I thought they were close in points. Aren't they the same?
I thought Arizona maybe tied them in points.
They're tied in points. What a race.
Yeah, it's a race.
You want a race. I mean, at that point, you want to race.
Oh, if you're Montreal, lose every game.
No, you go Buffalo, full Buffalo. You make a save, you get traded.
Yeah.
Save, traded. Good play, traded.
You get rid of everything you possibly can. This is why Jeff Gordon's got to figure this out. Who do you want to keep? And it's tough to evaluate, too. Like, watching the Arizona game the other night, how do you really scout those guys and try to apply them to a quality team? DeZingle had a couple the other night. It was kind of a – listen, the second one was a hard-working play, goes to the post. He's a vet. He's been in the league for a while.
Yeah.
So I think you would bank it on what you've seen before he got to Arizona, but you're like,
what the hell is this? This guy could play out this. I could plug him in on my third line, and he could score a goal.
Yeah, I guess.
But the rest of it, it's
a mess.
That's what scouting's for. You watch a guy, and you see something, and you're like, okay, this guy was going to fit into our system. He'll fit in well. Michael Bunting was in the minors for Arizona last year, and then up and down. The Leafs liked something, saw something, and said, okay, he's going to fit into our system or our dynamic. And, they make that move. Right.
Yep.
So that's what you do. The other night's game was lopsided, but that kid stole a game from Winnipeg earlier this year for 46 saves, 1-0 shutout in Winnipeg.
That's all he does. When he's in net, they don't score for him, but if he stands on his head, he'll find a way to get a win.
Hard to do that every night.
That's not going to continue for long. No. It's not possible. No. All right, Lawrence Tynes coming up, former NFL kicker, two-time Super Bowl champ, the Blue Rush podcast. We've had him on before. He's great. We'll get his take on Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll spin around the table with Lawrence, get his take on the games, what's going to happen with his Giants now that Joe Judge is out, among some other storylines in the NFL. We'll get to that. Al's brother will be in here. It's a big weekend for Team Al Dog. Clean slate. Playoffs, clean slate, and they are feeling good about the games that they're going to pick. We'll tell you about that around 5:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Lawrence Tynes will join us here in just a moment. Super Wild Card Weekend. We goof on the name, but I keep saying it, man. It's just a part of the program now. Super Wild Card Weekend, where we're going to have a Monday night playoff game. That's going to be awesome. Monday night Rams, Cardinals. We got two games tomorrow, three on Sunday. And I was watching the NFL Network this morning, and I think Peter Schrager brought this up. And I don't know if I buy into this at all, that Tom Brady needs more motivation. The guy, all he does is get motivated by every possible slight, and he's 44 years old. But the Tampa game is the 1 p.m. game on Sunday, which is basically the, we don't really care that much about this game slotting in terms of TV.
Dude, that's a joke.
That Brady's playing at 1 as opposed to a more of a primetime slot?
What's San Francisco? What that team stinks, and that market's not exactly like market's got. It's not Dallas.
Why? But that's who they're playing. They're playing Dallas. That's why that game's in that slot. That would explain it. They're literally playing Dallas.
Yes.
But, I don't know. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I guess of all the games, like, they're basically saying this is the one we find least compelling.
I don't think so, dude. I'm not buying that.
If Brady's playing, they're all going to be compelling.
Hayes, Brady turns that Tampa market into Dallas. That's the kind of power that dude has. He really does.
Generally does. He generally does. Here's a guy who's familiar with going up against Brady, beating Brady for that matter. Here's former NFL kicker, two-time Super Bowl champ. You can check out his podcast, the Blue Rush podcast. Here is Lawrence Tynes. Do you buy into the theory that Brady will be motivated by the 1 p.m. slotting on Sunday? In other words, the least interesting game based on the TV programming notes.
You know what? I wouldn't bet against him. He gets motivated by anything. So maybe he'll use that as his motivation this week. You know, that I think that game's going to be closer than most people think.
I agree.
That's the game. Yeah.
Because the weather's supposed to be, it's supposed to be wet, like raining and windy, and the Eagles can run the ball. They can do that. If they can run the ball, they can keep it close.
Yeah, Lawrence, I think that's an interesting game. I think the Bucs win, but I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think, just because the Eagles, you know, Jalen Hurts is a winner. He's not the ideal top 10 quarterback that you see throwing the ball all over the yard, but I like his game, man. That kid's a winner. He's competitive, and he's pretty slippery. And they've got some good backs, so, you know, it'll be an interesting matchup for the Bucs, who are, you know, pretty much banged up. So they're going to have to reinvent themselves.
Other than that game, what's kind of got your interest? This circled game where you're like, I really want to see what goes down here.
Oh, man. Cowboys, Niners, for sure. I hope you guys don't like that game.
I do.
Well, go ahead. I'll let you go ahead.
No, I'm with you, man. The other guy thinks it's basically an
It's just the Niners. Like, what's the sex appeal of the Niners in that game? Like, I don't know.
The Niners, man. It's the Bay Area.
It's Jimmy G. It's Kittle. It's Shanahan. They kind of play a bully brand type of football. The Cowboys are really good. I expect them to maybe win, but I think if there's an upset this weekend, I think it'd be the Niners beating the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think that's one. I think, honestly, all these games, they're compelling every year, and there's always going to be upsets, and there's going to be some lopsided games. For us up here geographically, because of how much we talk about the team, it's Bills-Patriots. Like, there's so much buzz about it. And the weather is factoring into the conversation, maybe more than anything else. Do you understand why that would be the case, Lawrence? Do you buy into weather factoring into the way this game's going to play out on Saturday night?
Well, you know, I've played in the third or fourth coldest game in NFL history. I don't think it's going to be that cold when we played Green Bay in 08 in the NFC Championship. Both these teams are familiar with the weather, so I don't think it favors either team. I do like the Bills, though. I'm going to bet on the quarterback in this game, and just Josh Allen's a superior player. So I'm going to – Bills Mafia will be rocking. I mean, that place will be electric. So I think the Bills find a way to get it done.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. With Lawrence Tynes, how much do you buy into the theory that, like, a young quarterback, first taste in the playoffs, it's going to overwhelm them? Especially when you look at a guy like Joe Burrow, who – all he does is win must-win games, dating back to college, week 17 and 18 this year. This guy shows up, and his numbers are off the charts. When he's in must-win, back up against the wall territory, he plays like Montana, effectively. Do you think it matters that it's only his first playoff taste, and do you think the moment will be too big for Joe Burrow?
I don't think it will, and here's the reason. Between these young quarterbacks, him, Mac Jones, and Jalen Hurts, I mean, these guys all played big-time college football, right? Playoff football, big-time, you know, the BCS championship, or hell, I'm dating myself, whatever the hell it's called now. But these guys have all played in the big arena in the big moment. And, you know, Burrow, Mac Jones did it. Jalen Hurts has done it. These young guys are more prepared than ever. Now, if it was someone coming from a smaller school, yes, I would say it's different. But Joe Burrow's just cool, man. He's just a winner. So I don't think it's going to really bother him that much. The way he's played down the stretch has been pretty amazing to watch.
New England Buffalo, how does Buffalo react to Belichick's last stunt that he pulled when he beat them? I think it was in Buffalo. It was windy as hell. He ran the football the whole game, didn't throw it. Is that part of the allure about Belichick, where he might keep you guessing what the hell is he going to do next? Like, how do the Buffalo Bills react to that and try to dictate, as opposed to sit around and see what he's going to do?
You know, I don't know. He's such a wizard, right? You just don't know. Is he going to run it? Is he going to throw it? You know, I would like to think they want to run it more than they pass it, just because Mac Jones is good, but I don't think he's elite. You know, he's in a good scheme. That's an interesting game, but I still think the Buffalo Bills get it done. I just think they owned them the last time. Didn't they beat them by like 20 points or something?
Yeah, they did.
In the rematch? Yeah.
Yep. We're chatting with Lawrence Tynes, former NFL kicker, two-time Super Bowl champ. Check out his podcast, Blue Rush Podcast. A lot of people link what happens with the first-team All-Pro voting from the Associated Press and apply that to the MVP. And it came out today that Aaron Rodgers got 34 of the 50 votes for the first-team quarterback position, which means Brady did not get it. And the belief is now that means Rodgers is effectively going to get the same vote and win the MVP. If that turns out to be the case, do you think that's the right call? Do you think Aaron Rodgers deserves to be the MVP?
I do. I just, you know, I don't know why Cooper Kupp's not in there after the season he had. That's kind of a slap in the face. He should have been mentioned, but it's a quarterback league. I give the edge to Aaron Rodgers. I don't really have a reason why, but I just, you know, he is, you know, you take away Tom Brady's Super Bowls. I mean, who are you? Would you take Brady or would you take Rodgers? I would take Aaron Rodgers.
A lot of people would. So,
just on any level of talent, you mean? Yeah.
Just on pure talent, you know, just the way he can throw a football and the things he does at the line of scrimmage. And Brady's good, but I think that's the right call. I think it is Aaron Rodgers, to be honest with you.
Well, that'll make it twice in a row. And there's so much focus on the young quarterbacks in this league. And yet, Rodgers is going to win back-to-back MVPs, and Brady's right there in the running. So the old guys can still play. They can still play.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to factor in over the next few weeks. That's for sure.
Well, you can't hit them anymore. I mean, they might play to their 50 anymore. I mean, you think about even 10 years ago. I mean, it's amazing what is a personal foul now. I mean, just causes you to gasp when you're watching TV that if someone's fingertip hits a quarterback in the face mask, and that's a personal foul. So, you know, it's a quarterback-driven league. I would have liked to have seen Cooper Kupp get some more love, though, on a national stage. I mean, how that guy's not even in the consideration blows me away. I mean, that's Triple Crown winner. It's only been done 4 times, I think. I mean, that's an impressive season.
He's had a great year, spectacular year out in L.A., and we'll see what he's got come Monday night in the playoffs when they play Arizona at home. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games, Lawrence. Thank you for doing this.
You bet, guys. Have a good weekend.
There's Lawrence Tynes, former NFL kicker, two-time Super Bowl champ.
You mentioned Rodgers, Hayes. What? Like, they win the Super Bowl, he wins the MVP. What's next? Like, is it another sideshow?
Is he leaving? He'd probably leave to try and do it somewhere else.
He might, and I can say, I think as a Packer fan, I guess I can represent myself and the fan base. There would be disappointment. No one wants to see the best player leave. If he wins the MVP back-to-back years, he's the best player in the league over the course of 24 months. And yet, it would be accepted. It would be so much easier to accept if you tag on a Super Bowl, right? Because you're bracing for it now. Last year, it wasn't really expected. Like, when the news broke it at the draft, there were some rumors out there that he was unhappy. People remember the Jordan Love draft pick, and it was like, how does Rodgers feel about that? There's no way he was happy. But the idea that he was done, I had not braced for impact like that. I wasn't prepared for him to just say, I don't want to play here anymore and I want to leave Green Bay. Now if he leaves, you can't say you're surprised. you know, in a way you're bracing for it and you have been all season. If you tag on a Super Bowl win, don't want to see you leave, but hey, what are you going to do? You know,
exactly.
See you later. You that means he would supply two Super Bowls. I think if he wins the MVP, I think this will be his fourth. He's an all-time great player.
Sure
all-time
is.
Great player.
Yeah, Kawhi.
But is he going to turn it into a circus again where it's not like, oh, yeah, he's leaving? Like, the last season was a circus, what was going on at training camp, and he turned it into one. Does he possibly do that again?
I don't think so because of the way they reworked his contract. I think he and the Packers will be on they'll be on a different – footing and they'll
be
a different understanding.
They got to just create an out scheme where it's like, you're done. Goodbye.
I think there'll be a sit down at the end of the year and LaFleur, the GM, the president, will sit down with him and his reps and say, what are we doing here? Like, are you staying? Because we'd love to have you. And if you're staying, let's rework your contract, tack on an extra 2 or 3 years, more guaranteed money. If you're going, okay, give us your 4 or 5 desired spots and we'll see what we can do. Like, I think it would be more amicable this time. I don't think there would be any need personally, unless I'm not reading the tea leaves right, for a Green Bay to say, nope, still under contract. I don't care what happened last summer with us reworking the contract and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to let you out. Felt like a gentleman's agreement. If you still want out after this year, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it'll be up to Aaron Rodgers to determine whether or not he's changed his mind. And I don't know if the playoff success or lack thereof is going to factor into his decision. I'm not sure. Like, is it more likely he returns if they win a Super Bowl or if they don't win a Super Bowl? You know what I'm saying? Like, if he wins, does he feel like it's complete and he can go now and it's all good? If he doesn't, does he feel like he's got to come back and finish some sort of unfinished business before he leaves?
Dude, it might be a lifestyle element to it, too. Apparently, his fiance is California girl, and guys might want to do it, man. Like, Green Bay is, it's a football. Luke Wilson talked about it yesterday. This is a great football stadium. This is football everywhere. But it's not exactly Los Angeles.
Chris Collinsworth posted a picture on his Twitter account. He flew in there for the week 8-17 game when they played Minnesota.
Yeah.
You got to see this picture. Like, it's a tundra. They call it the frozen tundra, but it's...
Yeah, it's tough.
It's a tundra.
So not the tundra is not for everybody, man.
No, the tundra's tough. It's not easy being a part of the tundra.
Yeah, no, like you fly in your girl from Cali and it's get off the bird and you're in a tundra. It's like
tundra's
a
tough sell. Yeah, tough.
It is. It is. But I mean, you're right. Lifestyle may come into it. I believe right now that whatever comes with Aaron Rodgers does come with a little bit of circus-like atmosphere.
Yeah.
I don't know. Has it become like that? I don't think he's always been like that, though.
No.
I don't think he has been.
I don't remember it being to this extent where he's doing radio interviews every week. Like the Pat McAfee show is a big hit, big platform, a big show. And in football circles, it's one of the biggest daily shows you've got. And he's doing weekly hits there. I don't remember him doing that anywhere else. He might have done it on, like, local radio in Milwaukee or something just because that's what happens as the quarterback. But I don't remember him making noise at all. And he's made a lot of noise.
Yeah.
A lot of noise.
It just so my point is I think it's going to be a circus either way. Whether he stays or he goes, it's going to be noisy. That's just what he comes. I'm not even talking about the vaccine stuff. It was last summer. He's an outspoken guy. He's a charismatic guy. He's got a chip on his shoulder. I kind of like it, but I just think now he realizes like this is what he's an outspoken guy and he's not shy to ruffle some feathers. So he's
that's
gonna
valid.
Do what he
and
wants
I wonder if you're tapping on something there or tapping into something there, Noodles, because he's. He feels like the woke mob is after him.
Right.
I'm not sure that Green Bay, Wisconsin is woke. I don't think it is. I think California probably is. In fact, it's probably the leading charge.
A little bit more, yes, absolutely.
A little bit different. So it makes you wonder if everything he's gone through recently the overwhelming reaction both ways to the immunized comment, to him not being vaccinated, how outspoken he's been about that, does that change his mind on what market he wants to go to and what reaction he might get when he gets there? Because I don't get the impression like in Green Bay they really care one way or the other. It's like, just go ahead, do whatever you want. Let's play. Let's play ball.
I don't think they care if you're great. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you're a great player, they'll make excuses for you to be a part of your team because you can what you can bring. The minute you fall off the cliff and your play stinks, that's when they'll start to pick holes in your character and your fiber and all of that type of stuff.
Yep.
Like it, to me, it's like you're the back-to-back MVPs. Yeah, it doesn't matter what your status is. We love you on our team. That's kind of what I get.
I think you're right. And we'll see what this means, the all-pro vote. But if you got more votes than Brady, probably leads you to believe he's going to win the MVP, although maybe Cooper Kupp will, you know, because Kupp obviously wouldn't be getting votes for the quarterback position. I guess that is possible. But anyway, we'll continue to look ahead to the Super Wildcard Weekend. Al's brother will join us at 5:30. We'll make our picks. The Grappler did the great reveal online. Yeah. It's up on.
Wow, did he give himself some airtime? That could have been a simple email.
Really?
I thought it was spectacular, though. He had the hoodie on, the hat, the TSN hat. He's a man of the people, the Grappler. They want to hear from them. They want to know what's up. And there's a little bit of speculation as to whether or not the hat was got enough of a shake. You know, did he kind of know who was getting what and what games were going to be allotted to who? But in the end,
there was a bit of a drop in pick where it was like, a drop in a pick. And, that team.
Yeah, it was a drop in a pick.
He was representing. He had that TSN hat on and the hoodie.
He loves it. He loves it.
It's outstanding.
Yeah, a lot of
Grapplers. Listen, it's professional. No more messing around. No more funny business. We're into the real stuff in the playoffs. So we'll tell you about what games we're picking, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Doug Armstrong, the GM of the Blues, will join us in the 6 p.m. hour as well. And Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. So we're tracking the Sony Open. Kevin Na just owns that course, man. Kevin Na loves playing in Hawaii. And I saw a stat earlier today. Saw a stat earlier today that shocked me. Shocking stat. Jason Sobel posted this on Twitter. Most rounds of 62 or better on the PGA Tour since 1983. Now, you hear that stat, I would think the first name that comes to mind is Tiger Woods.
Right.
Probably say Tiger, might say Phil. This is 1983.
Is it the most rounds under?
Most rounds of 62 or better on the PGA Tour since 1983. So 38
years. Jimmy Furyk. Jimmy Furyk, isn't it?
Jim Furyk's got 8. Tiger Woods has got 9. Kevin Na has 11.
Wow.
Kevin Na has more than anyone on the PGA Tour in the last 38 years. Of 62 or better, 11
what
times.
What the hell is 62 or better?
That's you're talking.
58? No, I know. It's basically 59. It's
like
it's insane.
He's done it 11 times. He did it yesterday. Obviously, he shot a 62 on a par 70. He's done it 11 times where he shot 62 or better on tour. That's 2 times more than Tiger's done. 2 times more than Justin Thomas.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't follow golf, it's not like he hits it 75 yards by everyone. This guy putts the lights out of the golf ball.
Yeah.
Starts walking halfway through the hole.
Walks it in. No one walks it in better than Kevin Na.
No
best.
One.
Yeah. So shout out to Kevin Na. You've got him in the pool, so there you go. You must be feeling very good about that.
He's had to have teed it today, no?
Yeah, he would have gone out early, and I'm not seeing his name up there very high. So that's he's one over through 15, so he's not having a good time today. You know who's having a good time is Skechers and Flood Pants himself. Matt Kuchar's at 11
no.
under.
Wow.
Kuch, did you see the pants he was wearing yesterday?
Dude, I look at his gear, and for some reason, this is like. We're sports analysts or whatever the hell we are. This is the worst thought of all when you see a guy on TV. I'm like, I guarantee you he wears brown socks and his feet smell like garbage. That's all I think about when I see Matt Kuchar. Because he's got these Skechers on and the bell bottoms. I'm like, I could smell that guy's feet from Hawaii. Looks like
I don't
a
get
guy.
That where, either. I'll give you brown socks. I don't understand the aroma of feet.
Yeah, like all of a sudden, like the shoes like are in correlation with how bad your feet smell.
He just looks like he gets home from the golf course, plops down on the couch, flips the Skechers off, crosses the leg, and you can see the leg hair in the brown sock and the fumes coming off of them. Right. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Cross on the couch after a round. We've all been there. Let's not pretend like that's exclusive to Cooch. But he had a pair of pants on that were – they were like 34-26s yesterday.
Dude,
they were up to his ankles.
They were so ridiculous. He has the best frame to look good. He's tall and lanky, and he could have dialed-in slender pants. But he wears these garbage pants. They looks like he borrowed them from Charlie Hoffman. And
he was a foot.
Yeah, yeah. And he just, I don't know. He's the worst dresser.
It's unreal.
The worst.
Is there a top five worst dressed on the PGA Tour?
We could he's put on that it. Together. Yeah,
he's on it. Matt Siam is probably on it, too.
Yeah, he loves yellow on orange. And Rick Hovland would be probably on a short list. Hovland,
Chuck Hoffman. Oh, my God.
Little Chuck Brian Harmon's the best. I love Brian Harmon.
He's my buddy.
He loves a black shoe on a black pant, though.
With a brown belt, though.
All right, hour two coming up. Mike Johnson and our picks for Super Wild Card Weekend. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.